Please sit comfortably. I wanted to talk tonight briefly about what Joko refers to as the core belief in her previous books, but particularly the last one, Ordinary Wonder. She talks about it perhaps more than in the other books. I just wanted to explore that with you a little bit more. And the way I'm approaching it, and the way I would encourage you and invite you to approach it as well, is as a koan, you know, rather than something that we perhaps fully understand. I'm not quite sure if I understand it completely either. But what Joko was referring to as a core belief that nearly all human beings seem to have to one degree or not, is some inner sense of unworthiness, of not being lovable or not being okay or not being good enough. And it seems to be very pervasive. Probably people who've had really good loving parents, you know, and haven't been traumatized, probably are more likely to have a sense of emotional well-being around that, you know, being on the receiving end of such love as a child in their formative years. But nevertheless, it seems to be a fairly pervasive thing that people experience, and probably more in first world countries. They're not all Indigenous cultures, but many Indigenous cultures that are being studied don't seem to have the same issue with this is what we do with our sort of very individualistic kind of culture. But let me begin by just telling you a few stories and a few impressions, which is in the nature of a koan. But I remember some years ago I was listening to a program on the radio, and they were interviewing Buddhist people about their understanding of love and relationships. And there was a monk who was speaking, and he kind of said that he's just not interested in relationships, and he doesn't have a feeling of falling in love with anyone or anything like that. And maybe it's not just what he said, but how he said it. It came across to me as being very, very detached. You know, like the story of you're familiar with the story that I told of the old woman who burns down the hermit hut after sending her niece down there, and she approaches him in this sexualized kind of way, but he just says he's got no feeling for it ever. So she burns down the hut because it would have been inappropriate for him to touch her, you know, in a passionate way. But she said, you had no compassion, you know, so she burnt down the hut. And that's the sense of detachment I had. Maybe my misreading of it, but anyway, it made me feel uncomfortable listening to that response. And then there was another response by a Buddhist nun who said, I love myself so much I don't need another relationship, and it made me cringe. But then, I don't know her, maybe I misunderstood it. But by contrast, with Joko as my teacher, she's someone who was married and had about four or five children, divorced, and then she had many relationships with men. Seemed to like men, had many relationships with men until she became a nun. And being a Zen nun or being a Zen monk doesn't necessarily imply you don't have sexual relationships anymore. But she, I remember her saying to me once, I just don't have a need for a relationship. I don't have a need to have a man in my life. And I didn't get the same reaction as listening to the others on radio. It's like, you know what, that kind of makes sense in a way. There wasn't any sense of detachment in it, and there wasn't any sense of self-aggrandizement in it. It's like I'm just content the way I am. I don't need that kind of affirmation of a relationship in some way. So it leads me into questioning in our day and age, where many people have written about how there's a narcissism epidemic and our culture is becoming much more self-centered. And one of the things that seems to emerge out of that, which in my mind seems narcissistic, but people sort of telling you or telling other people on social media how wonderful they are. So on the outside, it looks like, well, they really love themselves. You know, they think they're really wonderful and they want to express that to the world. But the questions that arise for me, like the words that I said in the beginning of meditation, they're kind of like it pointing to, when you say you love yourself, who are you loving? What are you pointing to when you say that? Because if you do meditation long enough, you will see that you can't, what you think of as you can't pin down. It's not your memory, it's not your thoughts, it's not your emotions. There's a stream of consciousness, there's a stream of body. Everything's coming and going. What do you love? Mm-hmm. Where is it? Mm-hmm. Or when people say that they love themselves, is it some kind of fixed image of who they are? That is my hunch. Mm-hmm. And is that image one of focusing on your successes and how beautiful you look, or your worldly success, how many degrees you've got, or how talented you are? Does it ever include an unconditional love of your mistakes, you know, or the difficulties in your life or the pain in your life? Is it inclusive of that? Or is it just about an image? I don't know the answer to these questions, but they're questions simply that arise in my mind. And also, not just who am I? You know, am I a thing or a stream? I seem more like a stream than a thing. But then when I ask, who am I? As though there's something inside of me which is real, which is me, I can't find it anywhere. Can you? Have you ever found it? So what happens with Zen practice is this division between the what we call the inside, and we think the inside is me, and the outside, that division seems to start to dissolve. Mm-hmm. If I ask myself the same questions, do I love myself or not? Well, one, I don't really ask the question, but if I was, I mean, I certainly don't hate myself. I don't dislike myself. I feel like I'm quite content in my life. It's kind of like I enjoy my life, I enjoy my experiences, but it would seem odd for me to say I really love myself. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's my koan. But Joko also mentions in one of her books that in California, you know, sort of pop psychology California, is that I need to love me. And she said, just goes round and round and round in a circle, this I trying to validate a me, you know, that they love. But what's it all about? Mm-hmm. One of my hunches is that what we need to do is somehow have developed a discernment as to what is healthy self-love and what is narcissistic self-love. They appear similar, but yet they're different. And one theory would be that narcissistic love is a kind of overcompensation for not feeling very good about yourself. So you overcompensate to build yourself up to be this shiny, wonderful person and present it to the world. But it's not really a deep love of oneself, which is unconditional, that it can accept every aspect, the the pleasant, the unpleasant, the painful aspects of one's experience. And because we do suffer to one degree or another in life and through relationships and so on, the suffering is part of our experience too. Zen practice doesn't take it away, it just transforms it. When the eye is reduced down to the stream rather than being a thing, then suffering is just something that comes and goes. It's not something we make an identity out of. But nevertheless, to go back to Joker's teaching, is that having this core belief about ourselves as unworthiness is somehow at the bottom of all of our reactivity in our relationships and our life. And if I understand Joker's teachings correctly, it's not necessarily about finding out what it is and loving it, it's about dissolving it. When you dissolve that core belief, you're in the stream, there's no inside or outside, you just walk, you just talk, you just laugh, you have fun with your friends, with your partner. And then, and because there's no self, then there's love which is exchanged. It's genuine companionship which actually arises. Sense of love for me, like I'm not talking about theory but experience, is a radiating out of something towards someone or something. And in its radiation, there's a love that you experience of yourself and the other in that. It's a radiant feeling that has no particular centre to it. Mm-hmm. It's just all embracing. Anyway, I invite you into the koan like I'm inviting myself into the koan.